Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Dale Jackson welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry. It takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology. Speaking the truth in love is our purpose, and to give the lamp and light to all. Now, here is our teacher and pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Yesterday in our question and answer series, we finished with question 7, and Dr. Bloom was starting to answer question 8, explaining what it means to be a living sacrifice. Let's continue with that today.
Now, here is our teacher and pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Okay, well, I would agree with you that holiness, because there's a very strong command in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 16. We're told to be ye holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. It's the same command that was given in the Old Testament. So, holiness is commanded us. In Romans 12, 1 and 2, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, understand, we think of sacrifices as something laying on an altar dead, having blood and all this other stuff. But what is a living sacrifice? Well, let's just take the ox in that Old Testament time. That ox could have been the fatted calf that was slain for the prodigal son upon his return to his father. But on the other hand, that ox can be the one that pulls the plow at the husbandman's direction. And so, their life is a living sacrifice, and it must be holy, acceptable, not unto the standards of a church or some other group, acceptable unto God. It's a much higher call and degree of acceptance. I cannot design something that's higher than the requirement of God. When we set out to do something like that, we'll end up involving the flesh instead of the spirit. So we need to be careful of that. And so, yes, doctrine should be all bathed in holiness, because the doctrine comes from God. And God is holy. Psalms 145:17 says, the Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works. Now, those same people who repented, giving sacrificing of righteousness, died because they looked inside of the Ark of the Covenant. And they did die for that, because it was a clear command of the Word of God not to. So that's a sacrifice of righteousness and holiness. It's holiness that defines true doctrine, she says again. The blood sacrifice of Jesus for our sins in righteousness and judgment. God turned his face away because of so much sin on Jesus. He couldn't look on so much sin. And that is holiness. The helmet and the feet are parts of knowing God's word. The helmet of salvation, feet the gospel. And let me just insert here that, yes, the helmet of salvation, know that you're saved, and feet carry the gospel. But not just the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Is carry the Word of God in all of its teaching and truth, in all of its doctrine, to God's people, as well as the gospel to the lost. So the gospel, and she said, and knowing God's Word. God is holy. God is given the priesthood to be the holiest of all. And therefore, these priests had to be meet the standard of holiness to carry the ark. How do we identify false antichrist who know the whole Bible is by holiness? If America is to become righteous, because righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people, we have to get back to holiness. I know it's through Jesus Christ. The refining fire cleans the dross, producing holiness. It's holiness Satan cannot stand, because righteousness is copied. Grace is copied. Mercy is copied. Blessing are all copied by the devil. Holiness cannot be copied. I thank God he saved my sin-sick soul. I only wish I had lived more holy. Holiness has left our nation. I think this is why the rapture is soon. Jesus came at a time when men and women were holy, righteous, and obedient. Let me just insert. Now, a lot of these things, I was getting ready to insert some things here, but I said I'm going to wait till I get to the end. No, Jesus came in the fullness of the time. Galatians 4:4 said, the fullness of the time God sent forth his Son, made of a virgin. Okay. The fullness of time was when sin was at its fullest for that day. God sent his only begotten Son. And so that part, just so in case that kind of throws you on some other things. Shepherds were in the field. Wise men were traveling, but obeyed. Then he died in time when Rome was crucifying for punishment. We are living in a time of utter chaos in everything. What better time if we don't turn back to our holy God? It would make things more chaotic with a bunch of women and children taken and graves opened. I can almost hear the trumpet. Thank you for showing us what holiness and obedience is like. Now, let me just say, I appreciate this dear lady writing us and thanking us for the program and listen to the sermon. I think she listened to one of our sermons from our website probably on a Sunday night. But yes, there is a great importance of holiness. And yes, we see that God's people did sin back in Samuel's day, but Samuel 7 and 8, it wasn't that the Philistines repented. They had taken the Ark of God and taken it in there, but all of a sudden, the Imrods, you know what those are, and other things that were hitting the people, the mice and all this other stuff, and they kept trying to give that ark to another city and another city. And finally, they said, look, we're all going to die if we don't get this back to Israel. They weren't repenting of their sin. They were getting rid of the thing that was bringing judgment to them. And so they built a wagon that would carry it, you know, and they would put it on that and have ox draw it with it behind them. And the ox made it all the way, the cows as they would, for their calves as they went on their ways. But they took it back there. So that wasn't it. Israel had been punished by the Philistines with a lot of death because they were going in their worship as well as in their lives of day-to-day things away from God, away from holiness, away from righteousness, And they're making the world. Even their religion became very entertaining. It was there just to make them feel good about themselves, but they got away from the holiness and separation from the world and the things of that nature. And so when God brought judgment, he used the Philistines. You remember in Habakkuk? Habakkuk said, Lord, this Israel is so evil, and when are you going to chasten and scourge it? When are you going to really do something about it? And the Lord says, I'm going to send Babylon. I think Habakkuk was probably having something like a heart attack because when he heard that, Lord, they're so much more wicked than we are, far more wicked. Why them? You know what? You know, and God would end up letting them know, says, well, hey, I will end up judging Babylon too. But the judgment from Babylon itself on Israel is they might turn back to God. And so this that happened with Israel was that they might turn back to God. And then those ones that saw the ark said, oh, man, nobody's got to look inside the ark before that wasn't a priest. Hey, this is our chance. And God struck a bunch of them dead that tried to look in and see it. See, you can convince men it's all right. And, I mean, there's a host of men that thought, okay, let's look in and that side of that ark. Yeah, the peer pressure built up, and that's what they wanted to do. You know, these others are doing it. All the others are doing it. Let's us do it. And they did it. And it killed a bunch of Israelites to do that. So I would just say that, no, the Philistines did not repent, except in the fact that they wanted to get that out of there so that they didn't all end up dead or something. Israel, it had to go through quite a few repentances before finally God's put them into captivity and did it on a couple different occasions. And then, after we've seen that, she went on to talk to us about people knowing God and about how much sin was here and all that. And yes, this world is filled with sin. God turned his face on America because she needs to become righteous again and holy. America is found on the Judeo-Christian ethic, meaning the Old and New Testaments guided the men. Some were not what we would be, you might say, that some were not, if hardly anybody was a fundamental independent Baptist back in that day, okay? And so, but they were very strong in a lot of their doctrine, all that, and together, doctrine and Bible doctrine, good doctrine, was used to form the Declaration, the Bill of Rights, and the Constitution. And so, the Constitution is not a living document that changes with the culture, although men in this day have tried to make it be that. The Constitution is actually a document, along with the Declaration of Independence and Bill of Rights, is a document from the Judeo-Christian ethics that represents the morals, the ethics, the principles of right that last throughout all generations. These are absolute principles. They don't change for the culture. They're true in every generation.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you'd like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name and mailing address, and include the radio station by which you are listening and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us by our website and freely download the sermons by clicking on the sermon library. That site is www.centralbaptistocala.org. Again, the address of Lamp and Light Broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, OCALA, Florida, 34471. And our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Dale Jackson, saying, may God's peace be with all who are in Christ Jesus.
My feet on his firm foundation, for the Bible stands. I will plant my feet on his firm foundation.